Hello everyone. So we will go through financial management part 1, chapter 1, which is features of financial management. In today's time, if you are working in an organization or running your own business, it is very important to understand what is financial management, what does it cover, and why is it important? Because finance or money is the lifeblood of any business. So you may be in a department which you feel is totally unrelated to financial department, maybe customer service, but customer service also has a cost attached to it. It has a potential investment to be done and things like that. So unless you understand the whole financial management and why the management or the CEO or the investors look into it, you will not grow professionally in your own professional life in whichever direction you want to take it. And therefore, that's the reason why I welcome you to this session on financial management. And hopefully in some time we will really understand financial management at a level where at least you will understand its importance, what does it cover, why it is required, and you start appreciating the role of the CFO, which is Chief Financial Officer, and what he or his team does and why they allow or disallow certain decisions to be taken in your department, in your organization, your division, and so on and so forth. So with that, let us see actually what is financial management. So in recent year, so before there was accountancy, bookkeeping, which would just record what has happened. Now over a period of time, bookkeeping has remained bookkeeping because recording of all transactions are very important. However, financial management has taken a dive away from bookkeeping and it has become a separate stream by itself. And therefore, it has become very much analytical and much more emphasis is given on decision-oriented approach to any business problem which the organization faces. So it is no more a matter of keeping data and records. That is anyway given. So now many times our systems have become very smart that they keep data and records while someone needs to oversee them. The role of financial management has become very analytical, that why this happened, could that have been avoided, and before a transaction takes place, can some decisions be taken to ensure that the transactions are done in a right way. In this particular segment, we will try to cover the following objectives. What is the role of CFO in firm's management? Business strategy that lays down the firm's goals and objective. The capital plan for long-term requirement of acquisition of assets which is required for growth of the business. The financial plan that are required for the requirement of funds. So how do you plan for it? Why do you plan for it? How will you get the fund? And this is, we are still talking of long term and medium term. So long term is where you need investments, medium term where you need some investments and some running. And then there is a short term finance requirement which is required for day to day running of business operations. And we'll also look into financial management in a sole proprietorship firm. So if you were a single person firm, why financial management is still important to you and what you should know about it. If you and some colleagues of yours want to run some business in a partnership mode, then how does it play a part in it? And obviously company, a joint stock company in the larger scheme of things. So first let us look at the concept. What is financial management? So financial management from a definition point of view is concerned with the efficient use of a very important economic resource, namely capital. So you require men, material, and more importantly also capital to run your business. Financial management looks at capital. Some other definition is, financial management is an area of a financial decision making which harmonizes the individual motives and the enterprise goals. So the individual would want to achieve certain objectives. The CEO would want to be the number one, or he wants to give so much revenue to his shareholders. As an organization, how would you convert that into an investment and decision making, and how would you aim to achieve that goal? It is also known as operational activity of business that is responsible for obtaining and effectively utilizing funds necessary for efficient operations. So it looks at, again, as we discussed before, short term, medium term and long term. So how would you use capital in all the three segments of business? And business is not static, it keeps changing day to day. So not only will you have to make a plan for it, you'll also have to monitor that plan and course correct wherever you need to. Another definition of financial management is that it's an application of general management principles to the area of decision making. So general management principles of plan, do, check, act, monitor it, review it, and things like that. So it the general management principles are applying to it. Someone else feels that financial management is a branch of economics that makes the best use of accounting. The CFO is involved in each and every business decision, which is right, and the CFO is now expected to have a deep knowledge about economics of that decision making and look at risk, pricing, must understand supply demand and risk return analysis for the investment that the business needs to done for its operations. So a significant task of for the CFO today, which is the chief financial officer, is to conduct a decision oriented process for allocating the company's funds. The company's funds could be their own funds or borrowed fund, obviously, and it can range from buying of building, investing into plant and equipment, investing into people, and look at the risk associated with it, and then ensure that all sales that you do, how it is accounted, what is the pricing strategy that you do, and therefore how much profitability you will bring or what is the investment required. It also then spans into inventory management, because there is a storage cost and already invested cost of making that inventory. Then it goes further than that into capital structures, which we will discuss as we go along into this program. And finally, when an investor who has invested in the equity of the organization wants his money back, one of the way he gets his money back is dividend. So a CFO has to ensure that the organization follows a dividend policy which is both in the interest of the organization's long-term prospect and also from an investor acceptance process. So investor expects something, either the value increase of his investment or some amount of return in terms of dividend. And dividend policy is a separate exercise by itself, which we will cover in this program going forward. So let's look at what is financial management in business organizations. So every business organization has an economic objective of maximizing financial gains. That is why it is a business organization and not a charitable organization, where the objectives could be little different, or a government organization where again the objectives can be different. So business organization carries business of production or distribution of products and services, or only distribution, and they do it systematically and to meet the long and short terms of the plans which are prepared by the management. So there's a separate team which focuses attention on it, and they don't want to get hassled that we don't have money for it, or how do we get the money. That is the role of the chief financial officer, to ensure that whenever money is required and it should be made available to the people to do the business in a most effective way. So therefore the CFO has a major task of managing funds, and these funds are not coming free. There's a cost attached to it. The cost could be in terms of interest, which either real interest which you pay if you have taken a loan, or a notional interest which you would have to pay to your equity shareholders, or with capital gains. So therefore he has to ensure that he gets the funds and he manages the fund in the most optimum way. And there are no funds which are lying idle, because idle funds means zero return, and therefore it's a criminal waste of the funds which are not getting used in the business, and therefore business is not growing because of it. So he has to ensure there are no idle funds left. he has to ensure that whatever funds he procures, short term, long term, equity, debt, is done at a most optimal cost available. And wherever this money is invested in the business, the returns from that money is also at an optimum level, so that he is able to match the cost and the business makes money out of it. So what does it cover? Financial management today covers business strategy. So business strategy lists out the business plan, how are you going to achieve those plans, and what kind of investment you will require. So it looks into the assets, and here we count people also as assets. Capital plan, so it lists down what are the total funds required. Financial plan, which spells out the sources of acquisition of required funds, sources and deployment both. Long term funds for the organization. Why does a fund need an organization need a long term funds for itself? Because businesses are not meant overnight businesses that you will run for some days and close it down. Businesses are done for long term period of time with many short term gains in it, and therefore you need to think sustainability, which comes into place in today's time, and for that you may require funds, which may be the returns you will get after 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, depending on the business you are in. So therefore business management is an art, it's also a science, and it implements, evaluates cross-functional decision, and then they look at the monies, the funds required for the long term and to ensure that the business keeps growing. Financial resource can also mean investment in the form of research and development laboratories. So medical term, medical business is having a lot of examples of it, where the research and development takes a lot of time, and therefore you need to invest first, and returns may or may not come after 3 years, 5 years, depending on the outcome of the research that you have done. Technology examples are huge, where a lot of investment takes place prior to any commercial benefit developed out of it. If you are in the area of manufacturing, you need to have factories, you need to have machinery, plants, you need to have equipments, you need software and hardware, you need shops for distribution if you are going yourself, you also need a lot of point of sales, and for all of that you need money, and these returns, it's a big money, and you don't get return immediately, therefore it falls into the category of long term. Another question that constantly every CFO in any organization keeps thinking, keeps evaluating, is that what is the capital structure that we require to implement the business strategy. So from the business plan we have realized we need money, how much money for long term, medium term and short term. So now he has to find out how he can ensure this money in the relevant time frame that is required, and for the relevant time frame. If I go to a lender and tell him I need money, so and so much money for 1 year, and I invest into business where the money will be invested for 4 years, then after 1 year I can't pay that lender, which would lead to a lot of credit worthiness loss. You don't want that. So therefore it is very important for a CFO to identify how much money he requires and for what period, and accordingly he needs to go back to see how he can get that money, from where, at what cost, for the period that we require. So he is very, therefore very important decision making part of it, and he also has to keep in mind that the business itself may generate some funds. So it's not necessary that you need to always take a loan or have some lender to give you funds. Over a period of time business itself generates this fund, and in many organizations those funds itself is sufficient to meet the requirements. So that also is an important source of fund which a CFO has to analyze, and as we discussed before, he has to come to an optimum level and accordingly decide how he will get this money. The balance portions, so if he does not get all the money, so obviously he can go to the capital market. So one of the important terminology you will keep hearing in financial management is debt equity ratio. And if you have done your graduation in commerce, you know 2:1 is considered a good debt equity. But it is not actually that. It is about where are you in the business, at what stage, and how are you growing your business. That determines the debt equity ratio. Your capability to pay also determines debt equity ratio. And that's how the entire capital structure is built by the CFO to ensure that the business strategy which has been agreed upon is actually implemented and the business goals are achieved by the organization. So let's take an example. So we have Reliance Industries figures at March 2015 in crore rupees. The share capital, equity share capital, is close to 33,000 crores. The reserves are 2,12,000. So totaling up, the net worth of Reliance Capital as of March 2015 was close to 2,16,000 crores. While on the loan side, so from where they have got this money, how they have done some other loans, is they have 2,000 crores as secured loans, and unsecured loans they have 87,000 crores. Therefore, the total debt of Reliance Industries as of March 2015 is close to 90,000 crores, which is explained there. The ratio therefore is, debt equity ratio is 0.41%, so not 2:1 typically that you would hear in textbooks, but as on that date the debt equity ratio is 0.41%. There are both pros and cons of having this kind of a ratio, which we will discuss as we go forward. So just this was just to get you introduced into one of the most important element of capital structure, because this is your own source and this is your borrowed source. So between that, how do you ensure which is an optimal one is a matter of discussion in subsequent chapters. So this is what we have explained. So lenders of course like to see a low debt equity ratio, because that ensures that you have enough money to pay them and pay them early. However, the company's fortunes are based on shareholders, investors. So if lot of investments, investors decide to move out by selling their shares, then they will not have enough money to, the debt ratio will change. Also, if it is high, then the business is said to be highly leveraged, and which means that the lenders expect more, it's little riskier, and therefore they expect more returns for their investment. So this is graphically explained. Low debt equity ratio leads to high credit worthiness. So what does a CFO try to see? That in capital structure, whether I should have high equity or self-generating money, or should I be taking loan from people? So while determining that, he sees that the selected pattern, whichever pattern he decides, whether high equity or high debt, should maximize the earning per share. And therefore this would increase the market value of the entity scripts traded on the stock exchange. So if the EPS, which is earning per shares, go up, then the value of the shares in the market will go up, which is one of the parameters to decide on the growth and people's perception of growth of the organization. So this is one parameter which is looked into it. Again, so this is from a larger framework where we talked about capital structure, long-term growth, things like that. Now we also need money for your current short-term running. So you require money for inventory, so for buying raw materials if you are in manufacturing. Some money is already invested in work in progress, some in finished goods in factory, and then from factory you move it to warehouse. So the value of the inventory put at warehouse also is an investment already done. Since you are making this product and selling to customers, you have, and if you are giving credit, then some amount of accounts receivable, that means money yet to be received, is created if it is given on credit. So this is where the funds are required to manage a business flow of a typical manufacturing setup, where they manufacture their own product and then supply it to the customer and also give credit. So obviously this money for short term comes from accounts payable. That means if we have purchased raw material or some other items and we pay little later, so that money is free to be paid for use for the daily operations. And other investments, small short term money that you would have raised, which can be used for daily operations. So net, it's called working capital requirements. And the net working capital requirement consists of current assets and current liabilities, and includes three accounts, which is accounts payable, accounts receivable and inventory, which are of special importance. So at this stage, the CFO has to handle the main issues that he needs to handle is, or look into it, is what is the optimum level of inventory the entity needs to hold. Whether because over a period of time, this inventory, if it is not sold, will be waste and will need to be scrapped. That means there's a loss attached to it. How much credit he should give to his buyers? Should he give 15 days, 30 days, 45 days? That's a big question for a CFO to answer. What is the cost effective sources of short term funds? So should he go and raise up a non-convertible debentures, or should he hypothecate something? Those are the questions that the CFO needs to handle. And if it has excess cash, that means the business is doing well, you are able to get more money than you need to pay, and therefore you have some idle funds, where you should deploy this fund and for what duration? Can you deploy it for longer term and therefore you get more interest and it comes into other incomes? Or you don't know when you will require this money and therefore you need to invest in a shorter duration where the risk you try to minimize. The availability of the money is more important than the interest. However, while you wait for the money to be required, you still earn some interest, and therefore that's a risk trade-off that you need to do, and CFO has to handle this. Financial management has different forms in different organizations, but the tasks are more or less same. So the basic financial task is capital budgeting, capital structure, working capital management, or financial controls, whatever name you call it. They are all common forms of organization which are engaged in commerce. While the goal of profit optimization and increasing the financial worth of the entity is common for all organization, the approach to achieve this goal has to suit, it changes from organization to organization. It also changes from the structure of the organization. So a sole proprietor, it may be a bit different, partnership is different, cooperative society or corporation is different. So what we'll do is, at this point of time, we'll look at the method of business and see what is the fund required there and what decisions, financial management decision, do we need to take it. So we'll start with a sole proprietor, which means there is only one person, he's running a single person entity to do the business. So he requires funds, he has to arrange for source of fund, and he has to execute projects by this fund. And he himself is responsible for it as a sole proprietor or the owner. So obviously the benefit is he does not have to share profits with anyone, but at the same time all the losses has to be borne by himself. And the owner is also personally liable for firm's debt or loan. So if he takes money from someone and he is not able to pay, then he is personally liable, unlike in the company, which we will see. So the major obstacle for this growth of the limitation of sole proprietorship is that it will grow if the person is good, if the process is good, if the service is good, if the product is good. But beyond a certain limit, it will not grow, because the person can neither raise large capital nor he can bear massive liabilities. So even the speed of growth will change, will be very slow. And at certain level, it will taper off. It will find it very difficult to grow beyond it. And therefore, most of the people may start as a sole proprietor, but if they see an opportunity to grow beyond a certain limit, then they move away from sole proprietor. They either go into a partnership firm structure or into a joint stock company structure. As an example, So Ashok Non-Ferrous Foundry was founded by Ashok. So if the owner is an inventor or engineer, they have to rely on an outsider to handle financial management, and therefore some conflict of interest can come there, and lack of accountability for financial decisions. The one of the downside. Partnership structure. In partnership structure, obviously, as the word suggests, it's partner. Your partner could be more than two or two, and its ownership is known as partnership firm. The financial liability of the owners, known as partners, is unlimited. So they are personally again responsible, and they bear the risk and share the profits jointly. It's a unique legal entity in which the net profit of the firm is taxable. So remuneration and interest paid to partners on their investment is actually the expense of the firm. However, the same is capped under the Income Tax or the Companies Act. And this is also taxed at the hands of the receiving partner. So when two or three people come together and they continue, they execute something known as a partnership deed, through which they go into partnership mode of business. The partnership deed specifies the rights, responsibilities and duties of the partner, the capital contributions, the share in firm's profits, etc. So the general understanding when two or more people come together to form partnership firm is that they will work to a common advantage and will be just and fair to each other, and all this common advantage, just and faithful to each other, is listed in the partnership deed. The third form of structure is a joint stock company, where your liability as a owner or shareholder, as it is known as, is limited to the investment made by you, the face value of shares, that is. The company pays income tax on its profit, and then when it gives dividend to its shareholders, a dividend distribution tax as per the Income Tax Act is also deducted, and then only the net dividend is paid. The advantage is, from an equity shareholder's point of view, is that dividend is tax free. However, last year they have added a new thing that if you get more than 10 lakh annual income from dividend, then you will have to pay your nominal tax for the amount greater than 10 lakh rupees. The challenge of a joint stock company is that the formation is not easy, it's complex. There are a lot of compliance things that one needs to take care of it. And there is an extensive provision under the Income Companies Act 2013. Previously there was Companies Act 1956, which has got amended, and a new act has come in 2013. Companies can be private limited or public limited, and private companies need to have minimum two and can have maximum 200 shareholders. A public limited company must have a minimum 7 shareholders, and there is no upper limit for the number of shareholders. So why joint stock company? So for entities which have substantial business volume, the best way to run that business is to make it a joint stock company, so that it can operate at a big level and continue growing. Because the risk of investors is limited to the number of shares they have hold, the potential of growth is continuous. There's not one person who then takes the entire risk. The risk is divided, and if the growth takes place, it is also equally divided. They can access capital market for getting funds as and when they require. The owners find their investments are liquid, as the shares can be sold or transferred to receive cash in short period of time. It is also a fact that proprietorship and partnership are important business organization forms, but the view of characteristics of company described before emphasize is obviously on the company form of organization, because the growth potential there is much higher. These are the various forms of business organization. So that since we have covered only three big forms, there's one more form called the limited liability partnership, which is an extension of the partnership. However, the liability in partnership is unlimited. In limited liability partnership, it is limited to the investment made. And this is the comparison chart. To summarize, the field of financial management is a branch of economics that makes the best use of accounting. So earlier financial management was restricted to cash transactions. However, with the advent of MNCs on the scene, the scope of financial management covers the entire business activities, entire business cycle, and with rise in business competition, more care and caution was needed for all decision related to receivables, inventory management, capital structure, dividend policy. So CFO is being looked upon like a watchdog in a growing business operations. The CFO has a major task of managing funds for the organization, both from where to get the funds from and where to deploy. Business strategy spells out the total assets required, while a capital plan spells out the total funds required, and the financial plan spells out the source of acquisition of funds. Strategies are well planned, crafted, and guided by CFO because he is the person who knows where the money is coming from, duration of money, and how this money can be invested into business segments which will give better returns. They are guided by the CFO, the board of directors authorize it, and then it is implemented under the supervision of the organization's top management of senior executives, where CFO still monitors it on a very regular basis. So strategic management provides overall direction to the enterprise. The capital plan is planned and approved to specify how much and when funds are required for different business requirements. After the capital plan is made, the CFO then determines how much fund is required and from where he will get it, which part of the total requirement is to be financed from their own funds, and what part has to be financed by borrowing from the capital markets or otherwise. And this decision creates what is termed as entities equity debt ratio. And while determining the debt equity ratio, the goal is the selected pattern should maximize the earning per share along with market value of entity shares traded on the stock exchange, which leads to maximize dividend income and share market price. Finally, to run business activities, the entity also needs a working capital in its current assets and liabilities, inventories if it's an organization which is in manufacturing, and then forms of account receivables. And control over this working capital is a major concern in financial management under intense competition. With that, we come to end of this session. Thank you very much.